Sorry about that. I didn't realize I was live already. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church this morning. We are so thrilled to have you with us. Just want to make a couple announcements. First of all, things have changed just a little bit. Miss Wanda has changed her current office hours. She is here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. If you'll notice in your bulletin, you have the phone numbers for the church and her personal cell number. Please remember that we have Bible study Wednesday evening at 6, choir practice is at 5, and we still have some almonds and pecans left. We're running a special, buy two, get one free, and my hand's shaking here. Also, I want to remind you that, as most of you know, our pastor is going to be leaving us at the end of June. In fact, June 13th is his last Sunday. We will be having a potluck dinner in his and Lynette's and Lily's honor that day. So we will hope that you will attend with us and wish them the best in their new adventures. Do we have any other announcements? Yes, Dave.
Speaking of the pastor leaving next month, one of the boys that he's going to meet is a member of our mowing team. He's been very faithful about helping us mow. So if you or anybody else who knows would be interested in joining the mowing team, please do that with me. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. If you are interested in helping with the mowing team, please let Dave know. At this time, we will have the chiming of the hour.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. As you're able to Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I know it's a little warm in here, but fortunately Richard's here and he's working to get the air on. We had issues with our water, as many of you know, and our system runs on water. Let's see here. So hopefully Richard can get it a little bit cooler in here for us. At this time, though, we would like to take all of our prayer requests as well as our praises and bring them before the body and before the Lord. Miss Pat's got one. Yes, ma'am.
I need one. Good.
Yeah?
If I hope my knees get well, one with the surgeon and the other and Memphis fingers is bad. They both hurt.
So, Miss Pat, if you got any new knees, Miss Pat needs some new knees or at least some prayers. Well, that's good. You know, there's a way to get rid of that problem, right? Yeah, so kind of hate to go that extreme, though. I guess not. That's true. We'll pray for them to get better before we go to that extreme, though. Yeah. We'll keep you in our prayers, Miss Pat. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Yes, Morgan. Okay. Yeah. Amen. We're glad to have you back with us. Yeah. Yeah, if y'all heard any sirens or explosions or anything in the Oak Ridge area, it was just Morgan and I in the same car together. So, you know, we were raising Cain and doing all that kind of stuff. So, yep. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay, we'll do that. Does anyone else have any requests? I know we want to continue to pray for Clayton's friend David. As many of you know, David went into inpatient rehab, and he's getting out Wednesday, correct? He's getting out Wednesday, and he's flying in, and Clayton's going to go pick him up at 11:50-something at the airport. So pray for Clayton, too, for safe travels and not to fall asleep But keep David in your prayers, because anybody that's been through recovery or knows about recovery knows that the inpatient part's the easy part. It's everything after that that is difficult. And so we'll keep him in our prayers. And then keep Larry and Arville in your prayers. Larry has finally gotten in-home care for Arville for a couple of days. He's still working on getting some in-home care so that he can come to church, because the lady that he has helping him, she can't work on Sunday, but they think that they may be able to get another part-time person that can come on Sunday so he can at least come to church. So, but keep them both in your prayers. So, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But had that part of the leg, you know.
Yeah.
Just dragged because the cop told him to come. He said, but I get a call to head up, please. I know I'm going to find somebody there.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, well, thank God.
He's doing all right, you know. He's having a rough time with his foot. But
yeah, sure.
And then that, you know, it's just miracle that there wasn't hurt
back. Amen. That's good. Thank God for that. Yeah, that's good. Y'all keep Liliana in your prayers. She's up visiting with her adoptive grandparents, with Mel's parents. For those of you who don't know, Mel is her godmother, and Mel's parents don't have any grandkids, so they sort of adopted Liliana, and Liliana adopted them. So she's up there. Pray for her. Pray for Mel's brother's dogs, because when Liliana plays with them, they get worn out. One of them's a Yorkie, and if you know, you can't wear out a Yorkie, but she can wear out a Yorkie. So keep that in mind when you're thinking of me, too, and Lynette and everybody that takes care of Liliana, because we don't have the energy that Yorkies have. So, but they'll be coming back the first week of June, so just keep them in your prayers. And it sounds and it looks like Richard might have the air working, so. Well, hey, the fan works. That's better than nothing, right? So. All right. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we have many requests this morning. We thank you for the praises that Stephen and his friends were unharmed, or not unharmed necessarily, but relatively unharmed in this accident. And we pray for a swift recovery for them all. Lord, we thank you that that Larry is able to get some assistance with his dad. We pray that all that would go well, and we pray for both of them, for their health, for their well-being. Lord, we pray also for David, that you would be with him, that you would help him as he transitions from the world of inpatient to the world, which can be a difficult transition, but we have faith in his abilities and in your ability to sustain him through these things. Lord, we pray for so many things. We thank you for Morgan. We thank you for the fact that Morgan wasn't having a heart attack and that everything seems to be going well as far as that's concerned. We pray also for Brenda and Raylan. With Raylan having some trouble. We pray for Stephen and for his family as he is transitioning out of more intensive care, even though he may not need to do that just yet. We pray that you would be in that situation. Lord, in all things, may we follow you. As we go forth in our worship service, may we hear your voice. May we respond in a positive way. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 384, if you happen to have United Methodist hymnal. And we're going to sing all verses. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. And we're continuing to do tithes and offerings the way we've been doing them with the two baskets here at the door and there at the narthex, and giving online on both of our Facebook pages. And you can also mail in or bring in your tithe and your offering. You have one as new current office hours, and so you can bring them in any of those ways. However you decide to give, please follow the prompting of the Lord, and remember that we had a big plumbing project, and so if you would like to donate specifically to that, just let us know. You can write it on your envelope or anything like that. But let us say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. There's a small typo in the bulletin. We're going to move the next hymn to after the sermon. So as you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 25. Paul writes, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence to the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. There is no favoritism. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated." So normally whenever I am thinking about what to preach on, I look at the lectionary to see what's there, and usually the scripture comes from the lectionary. Every once in a while, though, the lectionary just doesn't seem to be the right thing. And this week I was praying and thinking and trying to understand what the Lord wanted me to talk about. And I was having a discussion in a group that I'm in, and the discussion was about what things can Christians do and what things can Christians not do. And it wasn't like the big obvious things. It was more the kind of gray areas. For instance, a really big one is that Catholics and Episcopalians and Methodists used to, until we got hooked up with AA, Anglicans and Orthodox, and maybe a few other here and there, use communion wine, right? They use wine. It's still in our order of worship, even though we use grape juice because as a way to honor our brothers and sisters who struggle with alcohol. But you have other denominations. Some of the Baptist denominations do, Assemblies of God, a lot of the Pentecostal ones, that say, no alcohol at all, not even nasty communion wine, because if you've ever had communion wine, you know that it is not good at all. It's very gross, and it's meant to be that way. That's its purpose. You're not supposed to enjoy it. But so there's this argument, and you know there are people who vehemently are on both sides of this. Can Christians have alcohol at all? Is it what's the limits? All this kind of stuff. Now that's not a salvation issue, right? It's merely what is good conduct. You get into things like what is the rating level of a movie you can watch? And then when The Passion of the Christ came out and everybody wanted to go see it, and it was rated R, they said, well, this is okay because it's depicting what really happened, right? So we have that, but there are some people who say, it depends on the content, right? It doesn't matter the rating, it matters what the content is. Some people think all music is okay. Some people think only certain music is okay. Some of our brothers and sisters don't use music in church because they say, there's no music in the New Testament. We don't hear about instruments and all that stuff, so we shouldn't use it. These are things that Paul would say are not pertaining to salvation, but they are things that can be issues of conscience. So we're thinking about it and discussing it, and I had this scripture pop into my head, verse 17 here, where Paul writes, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And so Paul breaks it down. He says, listen, whatever you do, whatever, do it as if you're doing it to Jesus, right? That's what he says. And you've heard people say this, I'm sure, before. If Jesus was standing here staring at you, would you do this? If Jesus was the one that you were going to do something to, let's say you're in Walmart and it's really hot, their air conditioner has broken, and everybody's there, everybody in the entire state of Tennessee has come to the Rockwood Walmart. It's hot, you're tired, you're cranky, there's kids screaming and running around and people doing all kinds of stuff and having family reunions in the aisles and you can't find what you want and the cashier is, I don't know, selling every last cigarette and that's the only lane that's open. And you know, it's just one of those days and you get to the cashier and you finally had enough. And you're just nasty to her. Maybe she deserves it. Maybe she's nasty to you, right? Paul says in those situations, what if that was Jesus? What would you do? Some of us would probably ask for forgiveness because of what we did. We would say, oh, yeah, sorry, Jesus. But that's what Paul says. But Paul gives this long list of things to do and things not to do. And it's always interesting to me. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as if you were your neighbor, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two things. And in true human fashion, what's the next question? Who is my neighbor? In other words, who do I have to love? I get God. I got that. God, okay, God. But who do I have to love? Because at this period of time, the Jewish people taught that you love your family, including extended family. So basically, you love Jews. But Gentiles and, you know, all those other groups of people. We don't like Samaritans and Romans and all them. You don't have to love them. Because God doesn't love them either. He, you know, they're vessels prepared for wrath. We don't have to love them. That's what they thought. And so Jesus knew that that's what they thought. That's why he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because Samaritans were considered scum. And I thought to myself when I was reading this passage, I thought, you know, why is it so hard to just make it into love God and love your neighbor, right? Why is that so difficult? What's so hard about that? Why does Paul have to write an entire chapter of his letter? And that's not all that he writes. I mean, that's just this chapter. But why does he have to tell everybody all these things if Jesus just said, love God, neighbor, self, right? That's simple. Why? And then I kind of got a cough. And I got me some cough medicine, and I took it. And, you know, you look at the directions to see what the cough medicine says. And it said, take 2 tablespoons, or teaspoons, whichever one it is. I think it's 2 teaspoons. Take 2 teaspoons twice a day, not to exceed 4 teaspoons every 24 hours. Well, yeah. I mean, Terry's our math teacher here, and I do okay in math, but some of us struggle with math, but I think we can all add 2 and 2 and 12 and 12 and get 4 and 24, right? I think we've got that down pretty well, right? And I think to myself, why in the world do you have to put this on here? And I started thinking about this email that used to go around years and years ago about funny warning labels on products. And one of the most ridiculous ones was on this chainsaw. It said a Swedish chainsaw, which makes me think it was Husqvarna, because they're the only ones who make chainsaws that are Swedish that I know of. But it says, do not attempt to stop the blade with the hands or other parts of the body. Now, the hands I can kind of get, right? Because your hand sometimes just jumps out to protect you, right? If you've ever had a mom, which we've all had moms, right? Whenever she puts on the brakes, especially pre-seatbelts, out goes her hand, right? It's just an instinct. I have the best reflexes in the world whenever Liliana's about to fall off of something. Most of the time I can catch her. You've never seen a guy this big move that fast. But that's a knee-jerk reaction. So I can kind of get the hands. Of course, I don't know how warning people not to do it is going to overcome that. But I get it, you know, legal stuff, whatever. But I'm trying to figure out parts of the body. Like, you know, oh, it cut my hand off. I better try my foot. Maybe I can get it stopped with my foot. You know, and then I remember Jeff Foxworthy once said that, you know, they won't tell you these things unless somebody's tried it before. Right? Because you can't account for all the ridiculous things that we as human beings will do. So a lot of times, warnings come from somebody did it, somebody got sued, so they put it on there. You know, the most famous one, I think, is the McDonald's coffee, right? This liquid is hot. Yeah, it's coffee. And you know, somebody, I read years later, somebody said, well, you know, the thing with that is that the coffee was too hot. You know, the coffee is supposed to only be 150 degrees, let's just say, and they were brewing it too hot at like 180 degrees, and that's what happened. And I'm thinking, okay, I get it. There's negligence on their part, but I don't know if you've ever had hot things spilled on you. There's probably not too much of a difference in how much it hurts between 150 degrees and 180 degrees. In fact, there's probably less pain in 180 because, you know, it scalds it faster. But they got to put it on there to let you know that that hot coffee that you wanted was hot, right? Hot chocolate is really funny when they do that because it's in the name. But so I started realizing as I'm going through this mental exercise, Jesus made it simple. Paul didn't make it complex. Paul wrote to the Colossian church because they were like the guy that asked Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" Right? Yeah, we get it, Paul. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. But what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? And you know, when we think of groups that we call cults, we don't call them that as much anymore because cult has taken on a very negative connotation. So we kind of, the big fancy word we call them is heterodox, meaning against orthodoxy, basically. Some groups that we consider heterodox are truly heterodox. They deny the divinity of Christ. They deny the Trinity. They deny the resurrection. Different things, right? But many of them are legalists. The reason that they're rejected from what we consider Orthodox Christianity is because they're legalists. They won't eat certain food because the Old Testament says don't eat it, even though Christ declared all foods clean twice in the New Testament. The folks in the Seventh-day Adventist church, they broke off from the Methodist church. A lot of people don't know that. They're Wesleyans. But they broke off because their founder said, Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. Got to worship on Saturday, because Saturday is the Sabbath. And you know what? They're right. Initially, Saturday was the Sabbath. But Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday. And so the early church said, bless you, it doesn't really matter what day you use as the Sabbath, as long as you have a Sabbath day. But why not worship on Sunday? Because that's when Jesus resurrected, right? That's the holiest day in that sense. I won't get into all the cults and things like that, but understand that the vast majority of what we consider heterodox or unorthodox denominations, they're trying to find a way to be holier than everybody else. They're living in works of the law instead of works of grace. Don't think it's a new thing. The early church dealt with it. Paul had to call Peter out on it because Peter was like, yeah, you know, the Gentiles really need to be circumcised, you know. And Paul's like, no, they don't. That law is for the Jews to set the Jews apart, but now there is no such thing as Jew or Gentile. He even says it here, all are one in Christ. Nobody's better. It's really funny. Liliana's almost five, and she can understand the golden rule. When she's being naughty, you know, being mean or whatever, like kids do, you know, they get grumpy like us too. And she's being, you know, just grumpy, maybe not listening or throwing things or the stuff that kids do. You say, Liliana, what's the golden rule? Treat others like you want to be treated. You know, she says it really mean and everything. Like, but you say, is that how you want to be treated? No, then don't do it, right? She gets it. She doesn't always follow it, but she understands it. She knows what it means. So if a 5-year-old can figure out, treat others like you want to be treated, surely we can figure it out too, right? I mean, we're all in our 30s and 40s in here, right? So we've got that figured out, right? Except for Clayton. Clayton is still at the young age of 21, at least. Look at him. He's over here trying to be modest. You're 21, Clayton. Clayton's so modest. The whole point is this. There are rules. There are things that Christians do and things that Christians do not do. There are standards. There's a book this big with all kinds of standards. Not all of this book, though, has rules, in case you didn't know that. A lot of this book is just stories about God and his people. But there are rules in there, right? And we can go through and we can flip through them and all that, but I learned a long time ago, Christianity is about Jesus. I know that's difficult to grasp since his name is in the word itself, but Christianity is about Jesus. Christian, as I've told you many times before, means little Christ. Jesus' teaching was simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself, which implies love yourself, right? And leave the rest up to God's grace. Because sometimes life happens and you don't have a choice between loving God and loving your neighbor and loving yourself. Sometimes you just got to go with what you can and hope for the best. That's why God gives us grace. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. If you need rules, that's fine. If you're confused, read in Colossians and say, let's see, what does Paul say? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people need it spelled out. But the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is this. If you're not sure if you should do it, don't do it. Right? Think of sin like Jesus thinks of sin. Jesus thinks of sin, Peter, I think. The New Testament, there we go, we'll give the blanket. The New Testament thinks of sin as if it is a lion, because Satan is basically the author of sin, if you will. It's a lion, stalking and looking to see whom it can devour, right? If you wouldn't put your hand in its mouth, like you wouldn't put your hand in a lion's mouth, you probably should avoid it. It's really that simple. But then when you mess up or somebody else messes up, trust in the grace of God to forgive you. Because I've got news for you. Anybody that would do what Scripture tells us God did for us has got a whole lot of grace and is not trying his best to send you to hell. He's trying his best to save you from hell. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to love you, to love our neighbor, to love ourselves, and to live in grace in the meantime. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now we have our third hymn, which we haven't had in a while. So as you're able to, please stand for our final hymn. Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, number 351. And it looks like we're going to sing all the verses. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you give them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.